All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Right After Dragon. As the title shares, we are live here right after House of the Dragons. House of the Dragon, Curry. Yeah, see, I'm a little shook up, man. We're just off the season finale here. Curry, how are you feeling?
Dads, I'm good. Got to get it out of the way early that the Phillies won the NLCS today, going on the World Series. So
Yes.
emotional day for us.
Yes. That's Philly,
And
guys.
topping that off with the Right After Dragons, with the House of the Dragon finale. It was a big day. Little disappointed.
Right.
I think the season as a whole was still very strong, but just the finale, the second to last episode as well, both were kind of letdowns compared to the typical Game of Thrones finale. There's no big payoff. There was no shocking twist or anything. I think we even on our preview pod, which wasn't released due to technical difficulties, but we discussed it. Take our word for it. I promise.
Yes,
we said it that we pegged Lucerys Luke as most likely to die. And sure enough, that's what happened. So I think it was a very strong season. Just a little bit of a letdown for the final two episodes, but it is almost like a setup finale, as opposed to like a cliffhanger finale. It's just like, okay, the first shot was fired, and now hopefully we got more excitement coming in the next coming season.
Yeah, and I think as you said, Curry, definitely disappointing. Definitely, I think post Epi 8, we were queued up for just two bangers for the last two epis, and I think we got like B, like solid B, maybe B minus for the last two, which is not great, but it's still, I think, a really, really solid season, for sure. And yeah, I think that's like the macro takeaway. I think that, like we said, we pegged Luke as kind of the expendable, kind of obvious death here. Don't think the payoff's there with that happening, especially the, kind of the way it happened. But we'll get into it. And this is an instant reaction show, so I'm happy to hear your instant reaction. Yeah, my instant reaction is very much in the same ilk as yours in terms of disappointing. No shocking twist. No, it doesn't have to be shocking to be great. I think what's maybe disappointing is, and you put your finger right on it there, where you said, I would so much rather a cliffhanger season one finale as opposed to a table setter season one finale. And that's really what we got. We know where we're going. We know exactly where we're going. We know exactly how the table's set. But nothing's really in motion other than the table being set. There's no looming decision. There's no, oh my God, I can't believe that just happened. What's going to happen next? It's very much just a set table that season two will be ready to sit down at and chow down. All right, let's get to it, Kerr. I mean, we'll go through the episode. Where do you want to start?
So title of the episode was The Black Queen. And obviously it was referring to Rhaenyra. Officially, we got Team Black versus Team Green. Last episode, we had the Green Council, which was centered entirely on just, the Hightowers and Aegon and, the Greens, whereas this episode was almost entirely on the Blacks. There was no Aegon, no Alicent, a little bit of Plato, a little bit of Aemond, and that was it. So it was very, very Black-centric for Team Black, the Black Queen. So that was the episode title.
Got it. We open up. Where do we open up, Kerr?
So we open up. Like we said, it's Team Black centric focused episode. So we start with the painted table of Dragonstone.
Pretty sick.
We've seen the painted table before. Yeah, it looked a lot different than we've ever seen it before. Especially later in the episode when they kind of light up the fire pit underneath it, the embers, get the whole map showing. That was pretty cool.
That was badass for sure. But we start off with our boy Luke's struggling a little bit, stressing about Driftmark. Clearly just a small plot device here to let us know that, hey, Team Black doesn't know what the hell's going on yet in where we're at here, in what's in what they're showing here in the start of the season finale, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, we open up and they're still talking about Driftmark and Lord Corlys. So they have no idea what's coming up. And you know, it's a cute little moment, you know, maybe a little foreshadowing with Luke and his mom. You know, he's like, "Oh, you know, I'm not as perfect as you, and you know,
Yeah,
you
calls
got
his
to
mom perfect,
choose,
yeah.
like grandsire let you choose." They keep saying grandsire. I love that
Love
phrase.
grandsire.
And yeah, and then and there's an announcement that Princess Rhaenys arrives, and they're both right away thinking, "Oh shit, like Lord Corlys is dead. It's got to be, you know, Lord Corlys, like, you know, that's got to be why she's here." But quite the opposite, as we're aware of, Viserys is dead. And you know, sorry for your loss. Like, she opens up with that. You know, I'm grieving as well, my cousin, but we got bigger issues. You know, Aemond, Aegon has usurped the throne. They crowned him, you know, in front of the public. You know, big, we got problems.
This is fucking issue.
And yeah, and something I want to touch on that Damon says, he has this idea in his head that Viserys was slain,
Slain.
or was, you know, that he was killed. And I don't think we mentioned it last week, but there is a possibility that Viserys may have been poisoned.
Yes, we didn't get that.
So we know that, you know, his that there's spies in the king in the Red Keep, and one of them, one of the big ones, being Talia, the handmaiden to Alicent. And you know, the handmaidens, they make the tea that was given to Viserys. So there's a legitimate, you know, you can, yeah, there's a legitimate theory out there that, you know, Viserys may have been poisoned by whoever's pulling the strings at the top of this spy network. You know, I don't think it's Missarya and her horrible accent that would plot to kill the king. But that there's definitely, you know, a possibility that that someone was calling the shots and said, "All right, like, king's got to be poisoned now." So just a thought. I don't know if that's going to ultimately be the case. I mean, he clearly wasn't doing well. It's perfectly reasonable to think that he just died. He had a big day where he was, you know, making a big scene in court, and then that night just, you know, didn't have the energy anymore. But that's a little aside from this episode that we had to touch on.
Yeah, and yeah, because the tea kind of got brushed over when, you know, she starts talking Song of Ice and Fire and bigger things. But yeah, very much could have been a little inside job there, and I think that's important to note. But Damon's on it, and you know he's not he's talking more about, you know, the Green Team, you know, killing the king, obviously. But it's a good important aside to make here for sure. But all right, keep going, Kerr.
So yeah, so we have, you know, Rhaenys is still, you know, explaining what happened last episode basically, and says, you know, they crowned Aegon in the dragon pit before the masses, and Daemon is being suspicious. He's like, "Oh, and they let you, you know, they let you leave, and you're here." And she's like, "No, you know, I escaped on Dragonback," and you know, and he even mentions, he said, "You know, but you could have," he says something along the lines of, "You know, you could have burned them right there. You could have killed them right there." And
Hello, yeah.
she, this is, a, yeah, this is a legitimate response from her. You know, she says, "Look, you know, it's not my war to begin." You know, and that's true. I get it. It's kind of a cop out. It's kind of a cop out. But I get it. Like, it's not, you know, is that what Rhaenyra would have wanted? Yes, because it would have been the easiest way to end this war. And that's her struggle throughout this episode, is that she doesn't, she wants to keep the realm together. She wants to unite the realm. And by going to war with the Greens and with Aegon, and you know, that's the opposite of uniting the realm and protecting the realm. So she's being very honorable and thinking, you know, what's the best way to go about this? Whereas Daemon and a lot of the men are like, you know, let's go. We got dragons. Let's surround them. Let's do this. And she's just like, hold on, like, what's my duty? What should I do here? So it's a very mature approach from her.
Prudent for sure.
And Rhaenys says that later when she's talking to Lord Corlys, that, you know, she's keeping the realm together right now. She's the only thing that is.
Yeah, and I think that there's a distinction here to be made, I think, between, you know, Rhaenyra's thoughts around reclaiming the throne and like all out war. I don't think that there's maybe like trying to think how to say this. Like, I think that she wants Aegon out and her on the throne. I think she just thinks there might be a more feasible tactical way other than, let's get half the world on this side, half the world on the other side, and like let's just bash some skulls. And so yeah, I think her overwhelming desire would have been blow the freaking roof off the place with the dragon, and then like we go from there, because that's like a quick cut. Now we're headed for world war or whatever, if we can't do this tactically. But what do you think? Are you think that she, when she's wrestling with it, is there ever any part of you that's thinking she like might like just give it to Aegon? No, right?
No. And we'll touch on this later. They get kind of the offer from Plato when he comes to Dragonstone, but she basically says we'll answer tomorrow, we'll consider it. I don't think she's actually considering like bending the knee to Aegon. Damon is a little more aggressive, says I'd rather my children be fed to the dragons than be Aegon's cupbearer and squire. So I don't think it was ever a real possibility that she was going to bend the knee to Aegon just for the sake of the realm and to keep peace. But I do think she before obviously Luke at the end, she's looking to keep things as peaceful as possible, and basically settle this. Her effort the whole time is trying to settle this just by getting support from the realm. Obviously that's
when the popular vote.
And that effort is being frustrated by Plato's moves, by everything he did last week, by like Plato says, they did the public crowning. He's wearing Aegon the Conqueror's crown. He's got Aegon the Conqueror's sword. He's got Aegon the Conqueror's name. Like, they're really hammering home this,
Aegon
this
vibes.
Is the second coming of Aegon the Conqueror.
Which gets everybody fired up, for sure. Absolutely. Getting the Aegon vibes going there gets the common folk very much, very much fired up. Where we go from here, Kerr,
baby.
Yeah.
So we got to touch on that.
Sorry, I'm like going through my notes here. I'm like, we've already buzzed through so much.
We bounced around a little bit. That's just the way the conversation goes. But a major, major part of this episode is Rhaenyra and the baby. So we knew that, we saw last week she was pregnant. It's her third child with Daemon, her sixth pregnancy overall. And she gets this news from Rhaenys, and that kind of triggers it's like the stress and everything. It triggers labor.
Very well.
And the Maesters say, she's very early. I don't know how early exactly, but baby's coming early. You've done this five times before. Yeah, a lot of blood. You've done this five times before. She doesn't want any help from anyone. All the handmaidens are offering assistance, and she's like refusing while she's like screaming and groaning in pain. And it's like, what are you trying to prove? Like, what's going on? I was a little confused by that. And this whole thing, that's going on. So she's like in upstairs and down the hall. She's moaning, screaming, giving birth, while Daemon and like the men are down at the painted table, like trying to plan. And she's supposed to be the queen, like she's in charge, but she can't do that right now because she's giving birth. And I thought it was interesting that she's refusing help from all the handmaidens and everything. And her own mother died in childbirth.
Yeah, that's what I had written down here.
So like, why wouldn't she be in bed with the sponge on her head? Like, is it because she's distrusting of everyone because of the way her mother died in childbirth, or is it just like a personal thing? Like, I want to do it on my own. I don't know, but it was. I just thought that was an interesting dynamic to her character.
Yeah, I think that my only thought around that is that maybe she knew it was bad news bears with the earliness of it and that the bloodness of it, and was kind of like, listen, like this is. I mean, she says get out and like towards the end of it, So I don't think she, I don't know. Like I
she didn't want the C-section risk.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if she's just thinking, like, this is bad news, and she's just, you know, upset about it, and like just rolling on that emotion. I don't know. But yeah, it's interesting, and we don't really get an answer on it. But Rhaenys gets the boys from this. They're having a little sword battle on the beach. Rhaenys brings them in. And this is like, I thought this part was kind of weird too. Just this kind of the Daemon, like just Daemon all episode was just like, just a weird vibe for me for like.
This was a very, very,
like it's like old Daemon.
Odd character. Yeah. Daemon was very out of character, to how we've seen him since like he's been united with Rhaenyra this week.
Yeah. It just didn't fit. And it just didn't, I don't know if that's like, you know, part of maybe the books where the, you know, his brother dying has triggered this like craziness in him or whatever it is. But, you know, it's just, it's very out of character for the husband of Rhaenyra, Daemon, that we've had, for sure.
Right. But, you know, we know Daemon's a warrior and yeah. We've seen him before. He's aggressive. So yeah, so she's, you know, calling for him while she's giving birth and he's down there planning the stealth attack.
Ignoring.
You watch the skies. We got to appear stronger than we are. And
he was ready to leave.
She says to the boys, you know, nothing's to be done but by my command. So she's like, you know, trying to assert her dominance, like, hey, I'm in charge. While Daemon's down there setting up shop and making plans, which
plotting his war. She
says he kind of has the right to do that, but also like she doesn't want to go to war and he does. That's the big difference. He's like, the war's already started. Like they crown this kid, like. That's an act of war, whereas she's like, no, like let's do this, you know, as diplomatically as possible.
Exactly. And I think even more so for me, it's just like, while this is happening, the mother of your child is like miscarrying, right? And so it's like, it's just like a bizarre look for like, he's like pretty much like playing war downstairs where he doesn't even really have the authority to make calls. Meanwhile, she's miscarrying upstairs and like calling out for him. You know, it's just not a good look at all, at all. But all right, Kurt, keep going.
So then we got an interesting scene with Daemon. Daemon and Jace, they go and basically threaten two knights of the Kingsguard. You know, I guess they were assigned to Rhaenyra and Jace or Luke or whoever. So they got two knights, and Daemon doesn't really give him a choice. He's got he has Caraxes, you know. Locked and loaded behind him. Jace is there watching. He asks the two guys, you know, look, you know, swear your, basically their option is, you know, swear your loyalty to Rhaenyra or you'll have a quick and honorable death. And if you betray me, you know, if you swear allegiance and then you betray us, you will have, you know, a horrible, painful death. So it doesn't really give him an option. It seems like, you know, the one guy was very quick to swear to Rhaenyra. The other guy, not as much, but it seemed like they both were in the picture later in the episode, so I don't think there was any issues there.
Kind of a throwaway scene.
A little bit, yeah. I think it was just, again, it was important to show that was going on at the same time that Rhaenyra was giving birth and having, you know, horrible
This guy's like flexing dragon muscles while, I don't like it. I got Daemon bad husband here, right in the notes. That's what I got written down here.
Yeah, not a good episode for Daemon overall.
Also, he had this weird neck rash. Did you see that, Gary?
Neck rash? No, yeah. I missed that.
I'll send you a picture here. We'll tweet it out. He had something going on where it was geeking me out. I'll look it up, see if anyone else saw it, or maybe it was just like a little makeup issue. But Sea Snake's up, Curry. The Sea Snake is awake. Right? That's what we got next?
Yes. So we got that from did we get that from Rhaenys at one point or just from someone else? Yeah, they said the sea snake has recovered and set sail. This we found that out, you know, while she was still giving birth, and then ultimately, you know, she gives birth, it's stillborn, you know, baby doesn't make it. Cyrax, they keep cutting back between her and Cyrax, like while she's like screaming in birth, like her dragon Cyrax is also kind of screaming.
Yeah, it's feeling.
So I thought that was just to show their bond.
Mm-hmm.
But then we get right to the funeral. You know, very sad, you know, emotional scenes. She's wrapping the baby herself and you know, yeah, they cut to a funeral. They have a funeral for the baby. Everyone's there. So this you know, this is probably just like next day or hours later, you know, it wasn't a big time jump. The funeral gets not interrupted, but Sir Eric shows up. So we saw Sir Eric last week, the twin brother of the Kingsguard. He was Aegon's assigned Kingsguard. He's seen him grow up, seen that he's, you know, a messed up guy, horrible person, and would not make a good ruler. So he dipped out of there. He helped Rhaenys escape, kind of. And he dips out of there and swears his allegiance to Rhaenyra, hands the crown to Daemon. Daemon crowns her. Pretty, that was a good moment for her and for him as well.
Mid funeral. And doesn't even wait for the funeral.
Yeah, mid funeral. It was really, this scene, I think, was really meant to compare and contrast to Aegon's coronation. Mm-hmm. You know, Aegon's coronation is this big show, this big planned event. You know, this big show for public perception, the horns, the swords, everything. It's all just for show. Whereas this one, it's, you know, not a big crowd. It's, you know, friends and family for the most part, but it shows that, you know, everyone here, they all are, you know, true to Rhaenyra, and she's real. She's not faking anything. Like Aegon, it's all fake, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's just to show the difference in the two coronations.
Yeah, but our girl, Rhaenys, she's not bending. She's not bending that knee, girl.
Yes. So Rhaenys doesn't take a knee. Everyone else does. She's in the back. She does not take a knee. And then later, when the very next scene, when Rhaenyra is like walking in and being introduced, you know, with all the titles, you know, Queen of the Andals and the First Men, blah blah blah. She doesn't bow. Everyone else is bowing. She doesn't bow.
Mm-hmm.
So they put that there for a reason. That's just to show that the, you know, Driftmark is still up in the air on whose side they're gonna be on, or, you know, what their actions are gonna be.
Mm-hmm.
And Rhaenys, you know, she's deferring to Lord Corlys, who we found out that he's awake and is setting sail. So, you know, in her mind, it's not her decision to make. So that's why she's not bowing. And Rhaenyra kind of respects that, but also, why the hell are you here if you're not going to back her, you know?
Mm-hmm. She's just kind of like chilling. Like, I'll let you know. TV, like I'll let you know soon. No problem. Like, let me just hang here. It's like, are you in or are you fucking out?
Like, I would say she's playing both sides, but after the shit she just pulled in King's Landing last week, like, you're just going to go back there and, like, apologize? Like, hey.
Yeah, I think it's like...
Turns out Lord Corlys wants me to back you guys, so sorry about that.
Yeah, my bad. I came through the writer's room, like, loved the idea of me coming through the basement, so I just, like, did that. But, like, now I'm back.
Yeah.
Now, terrible. All right. Where do we go from here, Kerr?
Yeah, so after the coronation... So they enter, you know, at the painted table. It's all lit up with the embers. Very, very cool visual. We hear like some familiar names
light
as
bright.
They're talking about. Yeah, it's kind of like a light. So we hear some familiar names while they're talking strategy. House Stark, Craigan Stark is the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Boris Baratheon, Lord Grover. I don't think we've heard him before, but that's a name to know, I guess.
They're sizing up the numbers.
Yeah. So they're sizing up the numbers, the territory, you know, who do we have to reach out to, who swore to us years ago, and, you know, let's check in, make sure we still have them, things of that nature. You know, oh, you know, we have Aaron blood in our family, we have Baratheon blood, like, we should be good there.
They're calling all Ancestry.com.
Yeah. Who are our enemies? Oh, the Lannisters and everyone west of the Lannisters, like, we're not going to get anything there. Tyland has served the hand for a while, so I guess Tyland is the one that's on the council. We thought it was Tyland at first, then we thought it was Jason because he made like one dick comment, and turns out it has been Tyland the whole time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Not helpful. They kind of come across that, you know, River Run, the Riverlands are essential, and that's, you know, Daemon has connections there, but also maybe not because he killed his ex-wife. And that's in the Vale. That's in the Vale, which isn't River Run, but it's I think it's in the same kind of area.
Yeah, region.
But that's the So that's the strategy we're talking. Then we're talking dragons, and this is the first time we've heard anyone kind of spell out how many dragons each side has. Mm-hmm. So Daemon says, you know, they have, the greens have three adult dragons. They have Vhagar, obviously. And I think the other ones are like Dreamfire and Sunfire. That might not be right, but that's, they have two other dragons. One being Aegon's and I guess one being Helena's.
Mm-hmm.
And then on Team Black, they have, they also have three adults. They have Cyrax, Meles, I assume Meles is counted, and mm-hmm. And Caraxes. They have four small ones, four younger dragons, for the children.
Mm-hmm.
And then said, you know, there's also three riderless dragons, including Sea Smoke. So shout out Sea Smoke. That was Laenor Velaryon's dragon.
Mm-hmm.
So we know that he's still there.
We need him back.
And yeah, right. Come back, dude. We need to go to war. And then there's three wild dragons who like nest in Dragonstone. So didn't know that at all.
No.
So they have 13 dragons.
Good numbers, man.
Total. So 13 to 3. I mean, I guess you're going to need to get three people to ride the riderless ones. What are you going to do with the wild dragons? Who knows? Daemon also mentions, you know, I have a score of eggs that's incubating. So, like, we got more nukes on the way.
I know. It's insane.
Yeah, so, like, it seems like the balance of power is definitely tipped in their favor if we're strictly talking about dragons.
Yeah, and that's what comes up next. Why are we not just strictly talking about dragons? Like, which is, like, I think the question everybody's asking, especially after last week where Dragon was, you know, 8.5 feet from, you know, Aegon 2.0 and could have ended this, could have sealed this deal. So they get to that where, I don't even know who the guy was, but he was like, pardon my interruption here, but, like, why the fuck are we talking about the, you know, man v man when we're up 13-3 on the dragon front?
Yeah, yeah. It's a very valid question because, like, we're going to send, like, thousands of soldiers to fight and die when one dragon could just wipe out everything. Doesn't make sense.
And Daemon has a plan with the dragons where he's like, we could surround with, like, these seven and then we could do this. And so Daemon is thinking that a little bit. He's got his eyes on mm-hmm. the nuclear codes, per se. But yeah, that's just sitting out there. Is that advantage? And but now we're sending Luke in a you know, hurricane like conditions to fly around to try and get, you know, this whoever it may be to join forces. So, but all right, next we got Otto showing up, right?
Yes. So we hear that there's a ship coming with a three-headed green dragon banner. So we know, you know, the Targaryen banner's three-headed dragon. It's red with black background. So it looks like the greens already are doing some redecorating,
mm-hmm.
Which is kind of scummy bullshit. Yeah. So Team Green Banner. Plato shows up, and it's a callback to episode 2, I believe it was, when Daemon was in Dragonstone, and him and Plato met on the same bridge. And Rhaenyra shows up on Cyrax just like she did that last time.
Mm-hmm. Cool symmetry.
So very, very almost a mirror image. So that's when we get this offer from Plato that you know, Viserys and Aegon III, they can be the squire and the cupbearer. You know, your family can all have prestigious house seats and positions, and you know, we just bend the knee to Aegon, basically. So it's a reasonable political offer.
It is, actually.
Trying to make peace here. But also, it's also bullshit. Like,
you're stealing the throne, yeah.
Yes, from Rhaenyra's perspective, she left, you know, recently, and she left on the terms of, you know, oh, you'll be a great queen. Like, everyone was in her corner.
Yes.
And all of a sudden, she's like, wait a minute, like, the only thing that my father ever said to anyone and to everyone is that I'm his heir, and now he's dead for, you know, body's not even cold, and you've already crowned Aegon. So she's rightfully pissed.
This is the part I got pissed at here a little bit too. It was like, fuck Otto Hightower, obviously, because, like, he drops this bullshit about, like, if I'm him, or if I think the queen was the one sitting there, she would be saying that, like, hey, listen, like, your father on like his deathbed pretty much like said like, you know, that he wanted this. So like they totally left that out.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not a big foul. Like I just honestly feel like this is what he wanted. Like I'm sorry, my like tough one for you. But like he Plato goes in this bullshit about like Aegon's always been the heir since the day he was born. Like your father and you were the last to see it. Like whoa, like fuck you. Like you can't make that call. That's not your call. Freaking second born, you know, Plato Hightower, right?
Mm-hmm.
And like you know him saying that to Rhaenyra, I just thought was bullshit to be like you know you and your father were the last idiots to see that Aegon's been the heir. Like no. The only reason we're sitting here is because Queen Alicent like misheard this bullshit story. But don't sit here and say he's been the heir for the last, you know, 15 years or whatever it is. That's just nonsense and what you've been stewing up in your head. So just
Plato. Yeah, and those are fighting words from Plato. Like why would you – I agree with you 100%. Like why would you say that to the queen, you know, to Rhaenyra, to the rightful heir when
– Is that even true?
When it's not true and even though he's believed it the whole time – You know, the whole reason they crowned him was because of what Viserys said, you know, in his passing, you know, the last thing he said that mm-hmm. Alicent totally misunderstood. But also we know from last episode they had this plan in place.
Yeah, so I think exactly.
So
yeah.
Like this was probably his logic that he's had from the beginning. So I guess it makes somewhat sense, but you're talking to Rhaenyra. Like,
yeah, exactly.
You want to show her that things have changed, like, and there is a reason why we're doing this, not just, you know, oh, by the way, we were always going to do this.
Exactly.
Is basically what they're saying to her.
Exactly. And Plato comes with this, the niceties and the queen's message, and then he just sits there and says, like, you and your father were idiots. You didn't realize that this was going to happen. Like, you're a fucking moron.
Yep.
And so, like,
yep.
I'm thinking, kill these guys. Kill these guys on this damn bridge, you know? And so it doesn't happen, though. Daemon's pissed. He's ready to fight, and Rhaenyra, she don't want it.
Yeah, I thought maybe we were going to get
Plato's
death here. I think it would have been satisfying. It wouldn't have been – there wouldn't have been a lot of buildup, but it would have been satisfying.
Correct.
But yeah, Rhaenyra says no. You know, she takes the offer, the paper, says we'll think about it. There's like a little like, you know, tugging at the heartstrings message from Alicent from when they were young, when they mm-hmm. were girls, reading books together. Kind of bullshit. To be honest, you're not a fan of Rhaenyra here falling for this act, but again, that's her. Like she's not the aggressor. She's not Daemon. She gets that from her father, who never wanted to
Viserys the
start
peaceful.
War. Yeah, Viserys the peaceful. So she wants to make sure she wants to keep the peace as best she can. And you know, as we've seen, if Daemon were in charge, there would already be several dead people on Team Black and there'd be dragons surrounding King's Landing already. So
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
maybe that would have been the better move. That would have spared Luke, maybe. But
yes.
Anyway, so we know that Rhaenyra is trying to be political about it, trying to keep the peace. Definitely wants to... She definitely needs to hear some answers from Alicent. But that's... So yeah, that's how the Plato scene ends. Just a little disappointing. Would have loved to see him go out.
Yeah, on the bridge.
It's coming.
Yeah, on the bridge would have been nice. But... I do think that, like, I mean, that's what I kind of asked you a little bit earlier, but, like, when she says, like, I'll let you know tomorrow, like, do you think she's actually considering bending the knee, or do you think she's just trying to, like, buy time to just be like, hey, like, let's just get, like, our shit straight before we, like, roll into this big war, right? Do you think she's actually...
I'm with you. Like, she's not actually considering.
Yeah.
She just wants to buy time, and I do think she wants to be diplomatic about it. She doesn't want to go to war, but she's definitely trying to strategize here, mm-hmm. what her next move is politically or, you know, diplomatically, rather than just, yeah, let me think it over.
Yeah, okay. And now we get some more bad husbandry from our boy Daemon.
Yeah, so this is a really interesting scene. So I mostly just wrote down quotes, but... you know, she says to Daemon, you know, when dragons are at war, everything burned, you know, and I don't want to rule ash.
Mm-hmm. Bone ash.
You know, it's my duty, you know, what's my duty? To keep peace in the realm. And he's arguing with her, like, very, very outwardly. Like, that's your father talking. Yeah. To his queen, to his wife, to the queen. Says, you know, that's your father talking. You know, the enemy has declared war. What are you going to do about it? And... you know, it's your duty to crush rebellion. And she's like, no, you know, it's my duty to keep the peace. You know, he has a point, but I don't know. They both have points. They're two valid positions that, you know, she's the rightful queen and she should crush rebellion, crush the open, you know, traitors to the crown. But she's also like, look, like this is kind of our family. Like this is just a big family argument, disagreement.
Yeah. Quarrel.
And, you know, let's try to do this peacefully to keep the realm. So it makes sense. But yeah, Daemon is just, he's ready to go. He's ready to go. And then this was interesting. She starts talking to him about A Song of Ice and Fire. And as soon as she starts bringing it up, I'm like, I don't know if he knows about it.
No, he doesn't.
He doesn't. And it gets real weird. So like as soon as she starts talking about Song of Ice and Fire, Daemon chokes her, grabs her by the throat, and
his wife, his
says
queen,
something. His, yeah, just all and all we've ever seen from him is like this like devotion to her. Like he always like wanted her and like
respected her.
You know, respected her, gave her gifts, and when they were she was little, which a little grooming there, but whatever. This is just weird. Like he's choking her and he's yelling at her. Basically, he's saying, you know, Viserys, he was a slave like to this thing. He needed to have a purpose. And the more powerful line, he says, "Dreams didn't make us kings; dragons did."
Mm-hmm.
And that's when she realizes like he doesn't even know. He never told you, but it's like. He has a point again. It's out of character. I'm not a fan. He's never acted this way towards her, but he also has a point. Like dreams are bullshit. We have dragons. Like let's the only thing separating us from you know that she says the line that Targaryens are closer to gods than men.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing separating them from regular old men is dragons.
Yeah, and that's
it.
That's her boy. That's from his. His talk to her shortly after she was given, he named her his heir. But yeah, I think the message from Daemon is valid. I think it's just like the delivery in terms of like hands around the throat as opposed to like my queen, like please listen to me. Like that's like where I think, you know, normal Daemon or like the Daemon we've come to know around Rhaenyra would be tackling this. So it's just like, there's obviously whatever's in there is just like his pure aggression towards moving forward with like we need to kill and like we need to burn and we need to kill. So
right.
All right, Sea Snake's up, officially up on screen. That's what's next.
Yes, we finally see Lord Corlys on screen. He's not looking great. He's still in
bed. He's
been
asleep for like years.
I kind of thought he was like. Up, like they're like, oh, he's up and he's sailing, but no, like he's like
corpse
just
up.
Not dead. He's not dead, which is good. But so he's still, yeah, still not doing well.
His wife's not,
and
his wife's
he wakes
not happy.
Up. Yeah, he wakes up and Rhaenys is there and she's explaining, you know, you abandoned me, you know, for years in my time of need. You went to go fight this war and play war, and I needed you. We lost our children.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, they're having. They have a lot to catch up on, and she fills him in like, oh, you know, we have a new king, and also your brother's dead, and you know, Daemon took his head, and the Sea Snake is like, he has so much that he has to wrap his head around here.
Yeah,
but he kind of reaches the conclusion. Yeah, he just woke up from like some sort of coma, basically
5 years.
Yeah. So they're filling him in on everything, and he kind of wraps his head around it and says, you know, I've reached too far, you know, my ambition, you know, because, well, his brother had ambition, and that's what got him killed, you know,
yes.
and he says that. You know?
That's like the big
so he kind of yes, so he realizes, you know, this was all for nothing, like, I don't want the Iron Throne, we don't need this, you know, our legacy, like, forget it. He says, let's declare for no one, let's retire to high tide with our grandchildren, which that sounds all fine and dandy. But Rhaenys is like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Like, we can't do that.
And
like,
your grandchildren are married, have been married off, bud, while you were sleeping.
Yeah, he's like, hey, you know, our grandchildren are all on Team Black, and the Greens will kill them, you know, if we sit and do nothing. So we can't just retire with our grandchildren.
Yeah, ain't happening, bud. And it's
And
your fault, kind of. Yeah.
kind of.
And
And Randy's explains to him, you know, she's a real straight shooter. Like they have a very honest and
open.
straightforward relationship. And she's
Yes.
like, look, you know, Rhaenyra is holding the realm together. You know, and Corlys says something like everything she touches dies or something along those lines. And she's like, no, like Rhaenyra is holding it together. She doesn't want to go to war. Like she's holding the realm together. And then shortly after this, Corlys, he enters, makes his appearance. They introduce him and everything. Everyone's taking him in for the first time in years, and has a little back and forth with Rhaenyra.
One thing I want to say,
Go
Kurt,
ahead.
before you continue, is just kind of like how Corlys like kind of became the, I think like what we might be underrating, and you said a little bit, so I don't want to say you're underrating it. It's just like this whole like warrior like mentality that these got, and like soldier and like battler fighter, where like Corlys just like ditched his family, right, just to like fight, like because of like he thinks like, and so I think like Daemon, like first and foremost, like this big warrior, right, this big, like he was all about it, and so I think that like his like, I think that like probably in the books they probably do a better job like illustrating this, but like it's like not, neither of us are book people, obviously, as we talked about much on the show, but I think that like these men like macho like desire for war and blood and to be the battler is like very much like a real thing here in these like Thronesian times, and so it just maybe gives a little more credence to, you know, Daemon being so gung ho and like so pissed that they're not striking and not planning and not battling and not doing this so quickly. So I just think like Sea Snake's actions in terms of like abandoned family to fight like in the frickin' Stepstones is like, you know, we talked about him and Daemon being these warriors and fighting this war. So I just think there's a little more to that in terms of men and battle during this time for sure. But continue. He comes through. He's got the cane going. What do we got?
So he has a back and forth with Rhaenyra,
He's got attitude. He's got attitude.
talking about their allies. You know, he's looking at the painted table. He's like, oh, you know, these are your allies, your bannermen, your houses. And she's like, well, you know, we're hoping for
Yeah.
Starks and Baratheons and Aerons. And he's like, oh, you know, hope is it's a fool's ally or something like that.
Yeah, hard out mode.
He's like, you know, they swore allegiances to me, as did you. Like, she comes back at him.
Yeah, love that clapback.
So there's a little back and forth, little tension, and then like very quickly he kind of stands down and swears to Rhaenyra. And obviously this is something that he talked about with Rhaenys before.
Yes.
You know, Rhaenys kind of in the background, like smiling in approval. So this isn't completely like out of nowhere, but to Rhaenyra it was. To Rhaenyra, she was like
Fuck.
kind of surprised. She's like, all right, like awesome, like thank you, I'm
Yeah.
honored. Like
Let's roll.
she's pretty pumped about it. You know, they have the what's the word, not the Iron Fleet,
Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
the Driftmark Fleet, whatever it is,
Yeah.
the Lord of the Tides. You know, they have the Valyrian Fleet. And and he also mentions,
Hey,
he said, you know,
big drop
we
here, yeah.
fully garrisoned the Stepstones. You know, we won the war, we fully garrisoned the Stepstones. The Narrow Sea is ours. We can, you know, block King's Landing. Basically, you know, like a blockade of King's Landing, so that they can't, there'll be no trade in and out.
This is huge. I mean, this is what
And
she's looking for, yeah.
and Rhaenys is like, you know, there's one part that's open, like I'll go with Meleys, and I'll, you know, I'll take care of that.
She's ready, yeah.
So
She's ready
yeah,
to patrol the skies.
this is huge.
And this is what she was, Rhaenyra was kind of looking for, is like, hey, like let's try and like tilt this board a little bit before we like just start sending people to die. And this is a big board tilter for sure. And then she says they're just gonna go and try and get some support. Jason, Luke are gonna go and get the support. They, you know, they think this is a good idea. She sends them off. So I mean, I'm not trying to go too far. I just want to say that like after she sent them off, like I literally like paused it for a second. It's like how much time is left in this episode? Because like that's like I was like I like we have no time. Like I put all caps here. Like we have no time on the clock. Like post. Them being sent off because it's just like shit. Like, this is the season. Like, it's the it's fleeting, very much fleeting, in this in a post this conversation. So, but go ahead, Kerr.
So yeah, so she's talking to Jace and Luke. Well, actually, Jace and Luke, Jace volunteers. He says, you know, send us. You know, we're faster than Ravens. Send us on Dragon back.
Dragon's more convincing.
She's like, all right, very well. So, yeah, and Dragon's more convincing as well. That's a big role as well. So she sends Jace to the north to the Arryns and the Starks, and sends Luke south to Storm's End to the Baratheons. And she makes them both swear that they won't do any fighting, that they're going as messengers, not warriors. They both swear on it, and off they go.
Yeah, I'm thinking, and, what kind of fighting are they going to get into? You know, they're just you know, and then it's like, oh shit, well, here's some fighting they're getting into.
Yeah, so she mentions that, you know, Lord Kraggen Stark, he's young, he's like closer in age to Jace, so, you know, maybe you'll relate to him. Storm's End, it's a short flight for Luke. Baratheon blood, like, try to play up that Baratheon blood card. But so it sounds like for both of these lords, Baratheon and Stark, that it was the father who swore the oath to Rhaenyra, and now,
yeah,
like, the younger son.
Yeah,
so now the son is in charge, and, you know, so that's why they're questionable.
Yeah.
So
stale oaths.
So the next season, yeah, stale oaths. Yes, that's what Lord Corlys described them as. Mm-hmm. Right, Lord Corlys?
I think it was Corlys's quote.
Or was it? Okay. So then, so they shove off. Then we get a scene, just a quick hitter here, of Daemon in the dragon pits. And he's like singing in High Valyrian, seemingly trying to kind of like coax the dragon he's singing to, like, into servitude. Mm-hmm. Not, you know, he's obviously bonded with Caraxes. Mm-hmm. But it seems like he's just trying to, you know, maybe this is what he learned from the dragon trainers. He seems to be the one who's like most in touch with the dragon trainers. So seems like he's trying to coax this dragon into being, you know, on his side, and that he can ride it, or someone else can ride it. But I don't know the name of the dragon. You know, maybe it's something we can look up at some point. But seems to be pretty big. Definitely an adult dragon.
Meanwhile, we got like 14 minutes left in the season.
Yes. It was a quick hitter. The dragon, you know, blew some flames. And we didn't really get like a conclusion to this scene. But it was more of an introduction, and I guess we'll find out
next season. Mm-hmm. We were setting tables with 14 ticks on the clock, which is when I knew it was kind of like this might just be table setter city, you know. And so, but all right, continue. She sends Rhaenyra sends Jason Luke off, and you know, then we're pretty much locked in on one thing for the rest of the season.
Yeah, and you know, this Luke finale is kind of like, I guess this is supposed to be the Ned Stark death. This is supposed to be the big moment of the season. Not that every season has to have a big moment. No. I guess, you know, but this was, it was a little disappointing. So Luke is flying on dragon back to Storm's End. Arryx is his dragon. Mm-hmm. It's not, you know, not an adult. It's pretty small.
It's a pipsqueak compared to their boy Aemon.
Yeah. Yeah, so Luke rolls in, and, you know, when he lands, we see in the distance that there's a big dragon's already there, and presumably it's Vhagar. So Vhagar's already there. Mm-hmm. So he walks in with his message, says, you know, a message from the queen, and we see Aemon already there. Uncle Aemon is there, eye patch and all. So he already chopped it up with Boris Baratheon, who's kind of a dick, Boris Baratheon. Let's just get that out there.
Fuck this guy. He gave me Ramsay Bolton-esque vibes.
He gave me... what vibes? I don't know. Like, the Baratheons, you know, that we knew from Game of Thrones, Robert, Stannis, Renly, like, he didn't give me their vibes at all.
No.
Obviously, he's a very distant relative of them, but, mm-hmm. like, Stannis was always, like, very, like, proper, and you know, he just went a little overboard with the Red Woman and the Fire Gods.
Yeah, he got caught up in that shit.
Robert was just a kind of a buffoon. I guess he reminded me of Robert the most. I don't have a lot of good things to say about Robert on these episodes, but
yeah,
I guess kind of like Robert. So anyway, so Boris Baratheon, he's talking, and he's Can he not read? Like, is that what you picked up from this?
He cannot
He
read.
can't read.
He can't, and
So
which
he gets the
I
message.
was like pissed about it, because it was like, dude, there's like 6 minutes left, like, and we're fucking calling the Maester in, like, fuck.
Yeah, so he gets the message handed to him, and he says, where the hell's the maester? Like, what? So the maester reads it and then has to like whisper it to him. Like, so I
Love
guess he
that.
can't read.
He has a
So,
gut.
anyway, so he's talking to Luke, and he's not impressed. He's like, all right, so your mother just wants to use me
Remind
as
me.
her,
Yeah, remind
her
me.
dog. Yeah, remind me of the oath my father took. Like, is there any offer? Like, at least with Aegon, a marriage pact was offered. So I get that's why Damon, that's why Aemond is there. He's not married and not betrothed. So Boris says, which one of my daughters would you like to marry? He's got three daughters there.
Just
Not
fucking lie,
any of
Luke.
them
Just
are.
lie to him.
Yeah, right, Luke. What would Robb Stark do? He would say, "Oh no, I can't marry them," and then he would get killed. So
Yes,
don't do that.
exactly.
Anyway, so Luke says, "I'm already betrothed, can't do it." Blah blah blah. And Boris is like, "All right, too bad. Like, get out of here. Like,
Pop, yeah.
take your message back to the queen and tell her to shove it." So that kind of. That kind of sucked for Luke. But it gets worse. It gets worse. And
He takes it right on the chin, though. That's the thing. He's like, "Hi, yeah, you got it, man. Like, I'll go back. I'll give the queen your message. Like, you got it. Like, message received."
yeah, poor Luke. So then Aemond is just antagonizing him as always, and he takes off his eye patch and shows that he's got like a
It's like
sapphire in his
bejeweled, yeah.
eye
It's got like a little
instead.
bejeweled
Yeah.
action. Kind of looks kind of sick.
It does look kind of sick. Aemond, weird guy, but got an image for sure. So Aemond, he says he says some challenging words to Luke. He says he calls him Lord Strong,
He loves that. That's his go-to.
and Luke is like, look, I'm a messenger, not a warrior. Like, I'm not gonna fight you. And this is the only cool thing that Boris Baratheon did.
Yeah,
He.
this was kind of cool.
As Aemond takes out a knife and he's like, I don't want to fight you, I just want your eye. Like, you can even cut it out for yourself. So I want your eye. And Boris is like, all right, like, not in my house, not under my roof,
Get this shit out of here.
get out, get out, get out. So all right, so Luke gets out of there, and of course then we get the dragon on dragon
Sky battle.
fights. And Vhagar is so much bigger. Like, it cannot be understated how much bigger Vhagar is than Arryx. Like 10 times, probably more than that. Like, so just so big.
Yeah, and they actually did a good job depicting this.
They did. When Vhagar flew over top of Arryx, we got to see just how much bigger Vhagar was.
Yeah,
And
it was badass.
and the thing about Vhagar, like, yes, like, way biggest dragon in existence at the moment, as far as we know, and but old,
What
right?
is
Like,
fuck, man?
Vhagar's old, and you would think that like size would mean like she's not as swift, not as fast. Like, I mean, maybe still has the power, like speed and power, but yeah, like just old, can't really move anymore. But it's not exactly the case.
Yeah, I'm thinking
So yeah, so ain't...
like Shaq and like his last years playing. It's like he's a
yeah,
freaking
yeah,
hoss, but
exactly.
like he's not dominating.
That's a very good very very good comparison. I was trying to think of like something for soccer, but like,
Yeah.
yeah, no, Shaq's a good one.
Oh, and I think they do maybe show that a little bit by like the first blow
A
going
little bit, a little
to
bit.
Luke getting that first blow in.
So yeah, so here's the interesting part, and I think this is. I don't know anything about the books, but I feel like this is probably something that didn't happen in the books. The writers seem to have a penchant for doing that, like slightly changing what the book's story is. The books are supposed to have unreliable narrators. So we see that the dragons start disobeying based on
Yes.
the language. They're speaking in High Valyrian to the dragons, and they're saying, serve me, obey me, obey me. Listen to me, basically, is what they're saying. And so first Arryx, like, after being chased, and they kind of get away for a second, Arryx comes out of nowhere and flames Vhagar in like in the face and neck area.
Mm-hmm.
And Luke is like, you know, stop disobeying me, you know, serve me, this, obey me. And then
the death sentence.
You know, Arryx goes really high, and like they're above. There was a storm going on here. We didn't mention the storm, but
mm-hmm.
big storm. So Arryx goes like above the storm, and then all of a sudden, you know, we see Aemond is yelling, you know, serve me, listen to me, to Vhagar, and it's not happening. And
no.
Vhagar just straight up in one bite. Everybody knows the rules. One bite eats Arryx, and I don't know if ate Luke or just takes a big chomp out of. Yeah, just one bite, and they're both dead.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. That's the end of Luke. That's the end of Arryx. And Aemond is just like, oh, shit. Like, I messed up. Like, he didn't mean to do that. If I had to bet, I would say that's probably not in the books, that he didn't mean to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So there was an issue with the dragons. And maybe that's just part of, like, dragon fighting. That they disobey, that they're aggressive when.
Well, especially with two young guys, I think that's the thing. It's like
we're not
getting
like
time in the sky with them, like a lot. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and we saw that, you know, during like the chase scene, that Vhagar was like very difficult to control compared to Arryx. Like it's like having, you know, driving a, you know, a tractor trailer versus driving a motorcycle, like.
Mm-hmm.
Luke on Arryx, he's like weaving in and out, like some quick turns, and then Vhagar, like
it's like an aircraft carrier.
He's got this huge like rope system, and he's got to put all his might into it, like just to get Vhagar to move a little bit, like just a very complicated vehicle.
And we see these guys, you know, sitting around the freaking yard smacking swords at each other, but like get in the damn air and figure out how to drive these things. It's because this is when it really matters, right?
Mm-hmm.
So all right, and then obviously, I mean, there's like 60 seconds left in the season.
Yeah, so we see Aemond's face. He didn't mean to do this. He realized like he messed up, and that this is the first official shot of the war has been fired.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was an accident. It was, he didn't mean it, but doesn't matter. It's fired. So we find out, you know, there's not another word the rest of the
nope.
season. We see Daemon, we see Rhaenyra. They got the news,
mm-hmm.
and we just see her face, and she is clearly heated. She's pissed.
She's ready to rock. It looks like,
and she's ready to rock. The first shot's been fired, and mm-hmm. she's ready to. She's not looking to play nice anymore. She's not looking for diplomacy. She realized, you know, it was her son. It was Luke. She lost two kids in this episode.
Yes.
You know? So this was a tough episode for her, and Luke is like her baby. I mean, obviously, she's got younger kids, but like Luke was very much like her, like mama's boy, kind of.
Yes, exactly.
So she's pissed. And the first shot's been fired, and she's not messing around anymore. And that's kind of the setup leading into next season.
Exactly. No cliffhanger at all. Very much a setup. We've gotten to our instant reaction a little bit, Curry. Now we're about an hour and a half post, hour and 15 post final credits. Anything more that you're thinking? What are you thinking?
Just the setup parts for next season, obviously, is the first shot's been fired.
Mm-hmm.
Rhaenyra's ready to fire back. Corlys has this blockade set up,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, they're planning to set up this blockade, so that's big. And Jace in Winterfell and with the Arryn. So, you know, we saw Luke's journey didn't go well, so next season we're gonna have to find out what happened with Jace. I'm hoping that it's not a big time jump next season,
mm-hmm.
but you never know. I mean, actors get older, like that could always play a role, but I'm hoping it's not a huge time jump that we've seen so much this season.
Mm-hmm.
There's just war is coming. We're gonna see more dragon v dragon war, and it's now very, very personal for Rhaenyra. You know, before she wanted to keep the peace,
mm-hmm.
now she lost arguably her favorite child.
Yes, and these mothers, as we've seen, you know, losing the eye of her son forced Queen Alicent to Drawl, Cat's Paw, and Strike Rhaenyra. So this is now it's much more than an eye. It's losing Luke. And she's coming back with more than Cat's Paw for Allison and Team Green for sure. So yeah, I liked where you tee this up for next season. I think we don't read the books, but what to see is like the two, for me, the two biggest things in the season that happened were both accidents, in show terms at least. One obviously is this that just started the war, and two I think is the misunderstanding of Viserys on his deathbed, right?
So
it's like I don't know how I feel. Like I understand it might be part of the books, part of the story, obviously, but it's just like I don't know if it takes away from it a little bit or whatever, but it's just kind of like fuck, like it's like this whole thing is threaded through what now looks like one, obviously a big misunderstanding, and two, like an accident. And so it just takes away a little bit from like the intentionality of the actions of the characters, and it just kind of shows kind of like the randomness as to how we got to where we are, for sure. Any thoughts about that, Kerr?
Yeah. No, I agree that two accidents, two misunderstandings, really play a major role in what's unfolding in front of us for this season and in the future. And I think that's probably going to continue to be the case. Like I said, the books versus the show, not that we read the books, but it's like the unreliable narrator is like the biggest theme of the books, kind of like the books are supposed to be told from the perspective of like the maesters and like a jester or something. Are the ones who like wrote down the history, but they didn't see everything, they weren't there. So we've already seen that a couple times. I think we're going to continue to see that. Again, haven't read the books, so I don't know exactly about that. That's kind of stuff that we get filled in on later just through social media, but I think that's a major theme that's going to continue, and that lends itself to these kind of misunderstandings and accidents being defining moments that were misunderstood by the men who weren't there, or something like Laenor's death, where I'm guessing that in the book that was something that they got wrong basically because they were fooled, and as we saw on the show, that's not how it went down. So
yeah.
I think that's going to continue throughout the series.
And I think, I don't know, for me, I think just personally, like it would just be like more rewarding if it was like take out the misunderstanding, like Allison like just wanted the crown, and so like Allison's like that Cersei type, and like we're just like we're dealing with that, and like same thing with like Aemon, like he just had it, like he was ready to kill. Now it's like shit, like we're here because like you know this and this and this, but like it wasn't even like really meant to be that way. I don't know, just a personal take. Any other like macro takeaways for you from the season? We'll do a season
just wrap up, like this is a very large like family issue, family argument, like family family divide, which that's the whole and what's his name, Baratheon, Boris Baratheon kind of says that. He says, what's going on with Targaryens? Like, is there a king or a queen?
Exactly.
That you guys don't even know.
Exactly.
So it shows the weakness of the royal family. Like, that's what the Targaryens are. So you know, it's interesting to see that, it's just inner fighting in the family.
Yes.
And it's something that, you know, as the season started with the quote from Jaehaerys, that the House of the Dragon can only be defeated by itself, you know, something along those lines.
100%.
So, and that's ultimately what we're going to see. We know by the time Game of Thrones rolls around, the Targaryens, you know, obviously they had the whole Mad King thing, but he was like the only one around. There wasn't like a whole bushel of Targaryens that were there as his allies and that, you know, could take the throne when he died. So clearly that House Targaryen has a downfall. And I think, you know, this show, this series is probably the start of that, or the entirety of it.
Exactly. And I think we have to remember a little bit this, like, remember, and we're kind of reminded, this show is like more Succession than it is Game of Thrones, in terms of like Thrones being, this is like Game of Thrones, like the one throne, and like,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And so it's like, it is very much family. This is like a family quarrel. And like, I think that you hit the nail on the head there when you talked about how, they were saying, like, you know, you guys don't even know, you can't, like, this is the royal family and you guys can't get your shit in line. Like, that's like the second tier, like, ruler's thoughts about this, like, family quarrel is like, this is the Targaryens. Yep, we have to bend the knee to them because they're the royal family and they got dragons. But like, these guys are fucking it. Like, these guys are, this family's like in shambles. Like, that's what it is. And like, we're like just living inside of that quarrel. And that's what the series is. Is it's very much that. It's very much Succession. It's very much like, how's this family dispute gonna be settled? And we've kind of gotten a little bit left of that, a little bit right of that, but we got back very much tonight. And I think as we came to an end of this season, that's where we are, and that's what this show is.
And I, one last little thought I want to throw out there.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of ironic that it's House Baratheon is the one that's calling them out on this,
mm-hmm.
because House Baratheon is, you know, Robert Baratheon ultimately is the one who overthrows, you know, the Mad King and Mad King's oldest son. So House Baratheon calling out House Targaryen for not having their people in line.
Yeah.
And ultimately that's who becomes the next royal family.
So. Absolutely. All right, Curry, any final thoughts here? I guess we'll do a season review pod for sure, but what are you thinking? What do you want?
Season final thoughts, just you know, sad for Lucerys. Goat and Woat nominees. Lucerys definitely a Woat, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
I think you can even throw, you know, Aemon is a Woat on there as well for, mm-hmm. for firing the first shot accidentally.
Mm-hmm.
You know, other people we can nominate.
Daemon, 100%.
Daemon, yeah, not a good Daemon episode. Rhaenyra, I mean, she lost two kids this episode. So
100%.
I think that's a pretty strong foursome there. For Goat, I mean,
Sea Snake.
Not many good episodes. Sea Snake, yeah, definitely. Sea Snake, he's alive, which. He beat the odds there,
mm-hmm.
And he backed Rhaenyra. Rhaenys, similar vein.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, I mean, who had a good episode? Like Plato, Aegon? I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. it was just.
We'll have to take some. We'll take some requests and some ideas from the audience for that one, because it was a tough one.
Mm-hmm. Very much so. All right, Curry. Anything else before we shut it down?
I mean, we'll have a wrap up episode, but it's been a great run. Mm-hmm. It's been a pleasure hopping on the mic again every Sunday night with everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And make sure, you know, follow the Twitter at right after HOTD, right after Hot D. We'll be, you know, active on that all off season.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you like the pod, rate, review, subscribe.
Yeah. I think we have a good show in our hands, Curry. I think we do. I think that there was a chance that it wasn't going to be anything, but everyone that I talked to, I don't know about you, but who aren't, you know, podcasting about it, they're just casual consumers of it, like the show. And I think that's mm-hmm. the most important thing. Will it pick up steam as we get into these deeper seasons? I think so. I think, you know, following the guidance of the book, and obviously the books normally have rave reviews, that I think we'll get this show. It's just, you know, the ball is just rolling, and the snowball is going to get bigger and bigger and bigger, which I think you and I are excited about. And it's been a solid first season, and the table is set. Sitting here post episode 10, maybe you're not feeling, you know, the payoff. We're both not feeling that payoff, but I think we're feeling very much that the table that's set is a table that we want to be sitting at, and we want to be viewing, for sure. And so no complaints in that front whatsoever. So are you all good? I'm all good. If you are.
All good.
All right, man. We'll shut it down. We will do a season wrap-up pod for sure. But until then, this has been Right After Dragons.